This is, I think, the third week that I'll be speaking on faith. And just to recap, just briefly, on the first week, Sunday before last, I was spoke on the power of worshiping by faith. And I think I used Cain and Abel as examples. And one thing, God accepted Abel's worship. He just sucked it right on up. But Cain's, he didn't. Even though he gave Cain opportunity after opportunity to go back and get it right. But one thing about that, when you worship and give God your best worship, you know what he does, just like he did for Abel, anything that happened Cain. He didn't, it said, sin crouched behind him like a roaring lion, ready to devour him, just because he gave bad worship. Abel gave his perfect worship. So, in other words, when we give our best to God, he keeps sin at bay. He keeps it from jumping on you and devouring you until you come to worship again. And then after that, I said, we walked in faith. I talked about my little buddy Enoch, but he wasn't here last Sunday. But Enoch walked with God. He said he walked with God for 300 years. He walked with God like he was a buddy. And see, what's one thing? We get that relationship with God, we can walk with him. We can talk with him. Anything that we have on our hearts, any problems, any trials, any tribulations, God said, you can tell me because we on one accord now, and I'll look out for you. So much so, he looked out for Enoch. Enoch never saw death. God, he was walking with Enoch, with God for 300 years. And all of a sudden, it said God was talking with Enoch, and Enoch talking to God, and God says, yeah, Enoch, I said, right now, you've been walking for a long time. You are closer to my house than you are your house. So let's come on over to my house. And he got caught up and went with God home. But see, that is a relationship with God, a good relationship. And this week, we're talking about the journey of faith, the journey of faith. I should call it the obedient journey of faith. And we're going to learn from another old saint in the Bible. We're going to learn three things about Abraham today and his walk with faith. And if you want to experience God in a whole new level by faith, it would involve three things. First of all, it would involve a leaving, a living, and a looking. Now, if you want to experience God as you never have experienced him before, as you move by faith, it will involve leaving, living, and looking. Number one, leaving. And that's in Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 8. It says, verse 8 tells us that by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Now, this is described, just that one verse is described a lot better in Genesis chapter 12 and 13. We are told that Abraham, I want you to leave your city, your community, I want you to leave your house, even your people, and I want you to go to a place that I'm not going to tell you about yet. So he didn't know where he was going. All he knew was God told him to leave without knowing where God was taking him. Why is God taking him to leave Ur of the Chaldeans? Why was God telling him to move away from family, friends, and the things that he grew up with? Why was God telling him to leave all that? Now, to understand that, you have to go back and read chapter 11. If you really want to know all this good stuff, I'm going to make you read. Go back and read chapter 11. Chapter 11, in the whole book, in chapter 11, the whole world was in rebellion against God. A man named Nimrod, an African that we are not proud of, we shouldn't be proud of. And how do I know he was a black person? Well, he was a descendant of Ham. Ham from, in the Greek means, that's the strongest word for black. And then Ham had a son named Cush, and Cush had a son named Nimrod. So they was in that black family, but we're not proud of it. The Tower of Babel established a religion of humanism, man-centered religion. It says that they gathered together as one people to build a civilization. It was right in the middle of the city, so we're going to build a tower. And they said, we will build our tower to reach heaven. We don't need God. We are on one accord. We're speaking the same thing, and we can build this thing ourselves. We don't need God. We are going to build this thing so high, we're going to show God that we're going to build right up next to him. But Genesis in chapter 11 says, and when God looked down and saw what they were doing, said God came down. So I don't care how high you think you can get, how much money you make, how well known you are by man, God has got to come down because you are not going to get but so high. God came down and said, look at them fools. Look at what they're trying to do. It says they are seeking, and God says, to build a name for themselves. It says, why? Because they don't want to carry my name. It is like a woman getting married to a man and said, I'll marry you, but I'm not going to wear your name. We want religion, but we don't want God. We want a man-centered religion. Abraham was in a context of worldwide paganism. In the book of Joshua 24 and 2, you can just jot it down. You can read it when you get home. In Joshua 22, it says that he was raised in a family of idols, so they worship idols. They worship false gods. So they had religion, but they didn't have the true God. God says, I have something for you to do. I have a plan for you, Abraham. But in order for you to fill my plan, you have got to leave here. You got to get out of this place. In other words, if you want to see where I want you to go, I'm not going to show you where I'm not going to show you yet, but I'm going to tell you, you have to leave this place, and I'm going to take you there. He says, in other words, God says, this place full of paganism, this false religion, you can't stay here and see me. You cannot stay around paganism and have me. You cannot go around humanism and have me. So you have got to leave here. And you have got to trust me on this one, Abraham, that I know where I'm taking you, even though I'm not telling you. You know, it's like a lot of us. Okay, God, show me where you're taking me. And if you show me where you're taking me, then I will decide myself whether I'm going to go or not. Show me where you want me to go, and I will let you know if I'm going to take the trip. Give me a trip package. I want you to lay out this thing for me, and I get on my GPS, and I'm going to GPS this thing in. If I decide to go, then I go. Of course, that is by sight. And if you have sight, it is not faith. So what that got to do with me, I don't live in Ur of the Chaldeans. Ur of the Chaldeans represents worldliness. Worldliness, that's paganism. God says in 1 John 2 and John 15, he says, if you are friends with this world, you are an enemy of God. And that he tells his disciples this thing. If you hang out with the world, you can't have me. God has called every Christian to leave worldliness. He didn't say leave the world. He didn't mean not to live in society or work in society, not to have responsibility in society. Worldliness is different than that. Worldliness is an attitude and actions that leave God out. You are worldly when there are attitudes and actions where God is dismissed from. God has saved us out of this world. What motivated Abraham to leave? God says, I have an inheritance for you. It says he left to get his inheritance. That's what motivated him to leave. An inheritance is like a will that somebody, it's something someone has left you. God says, I have a will for you, an inheritance for you, a plan for you. God has something for every believer in here. If you are a Christian, he has a purpose for you, and he wants you to fulfill that purpose, but he will not show you your destiny if he cannot get you to leave this thing called this world. As long as you are hanging out in the world, you are at enmity against God, and God cannot communicate with you. If God can't communicate with you, your prayers won't get answered. You won't even hear from heaven, because he won't even hear you, because you're not in line with God. You won't get directions. You will have an aim. You'll be aimless because your affections are not with him. They are elsewhere. You visit him on occasions, but you live with affections and actions that leave him out. One of the ways you know you are growing as a Christian is when your passion for this world is dying and your passion for him is growing. If you love the world more than him, then that's because the world has your affections, the world has your passion. So he says, you must leave this paganism, this paganistic world that doesn't include me, because without me, you have all the details. You don't understand anything. I can't talk to you. I can't communicate with you. Leave this world behind. In other words, leave worldliness behind. Don't cling on to this world. Don't stick things to the world. Don't listen to what the world's directing you to do or speaking to you to do, because you know we are not of this world. We're in this world, but we are not a part of this world. You're going to have to walk by faith and believe that I know where I'm taking you. That's what God was telling Abraham. Look, I'm not telling you where I'm going to take you. Just walk by faith, believe in me, and I'm taking you. You'll see when I take you there. The problem is where he was born. That is where he grew up, where his people are. That is where his business is. The Bible says he was very rich. Matter of fact, this Abraham was filthy rich. So it is hard to leave something you have grown up in, because that formed your way of thinking. But it says that when he heard the voice of God, it says he obeyed and left, because his inheritance was more important than his current location. Now, so here's the decision we have to make. That is, if you really want to experience God, is what God has for you is more important than where you are. We can experience God when we say we're going to leave this place, God, because what you have for me, your destiny for me, is more important. I don't care how rich I am, how famous I am, it's more important to me right now in this place. So I'm going to leave this place and follow you. Abraham says, I don't know the details, but even so, I don't know where I'm going. I believe you know, God, where you're taking me. So I'm going to risk leaving the things I know best and love the most. That's faith. Question is, do you love the world so much that you're willing to lose your destiny? Because God knows where he wants to take you, but you must be willing to leave. The book of Hebrews 13:13 says you must go outside the camp where Jesus is. Jesus died outside of Jerusalem, excuse me, where Judaism was. He went outside the camp and died. You can stay in just a religious environment and not be willing to be identified with Jesus Christ and bear his reproach and expect to hear from God. You have to go outside the camp. In other words, you just can't be part of the system. He based his life on a promise. Unless you leave the old, you will never discover what God has for you in the new. So what do you want? What do you want to do? Where do you want to hang out? With him or stay where you are? Because he will never coexist with the world. That's in James chapter 4. So the first thing you need to know is that is your life of faith will require a leaving of worldliness actions and desires that is in conflict with God. Secondly, your life of faith will involve living. And that's in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9. It says, by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Now he left and then he lived. Take note of this. It says he lived in the land of promise as a foreigner and alien. He left Ur of the Chaldeans. He left paganism. He is now in the land God had promised him, was promising him, but in the land he is living as an alien and a foreigner. In the middle of the promise, God made him. God made him a promise. He starts by faith, walking toward the promise, and he winds up in the middle of the promise, but still can't make it home. It's a promise, but it is still not a long-term location for him yet, because it says he is living like an alien. Now, here it is. God is always doing two things at one time, relating to your life and mine. Here are the two things. He is preparing us, he is preparing the promise for you and I, and he is preparing you for the promise. Wherever your inheritance is, wherever your destiny is, in time of being, that's the time you're being made ready. That's the time God is developing and preparing us. But he also has to get you ready so that when the promised plan destiny is realized, you don't mess it up because you weren't ready. How many times have you, if you can think back, the Lord promised you something and you knew what the promise was and you did something out of character and messed it up? You just delayed it. Now watch this now. You have no control over the promise part. God is doing that. You have control over the person part. God could have the promise waiting for you to show up, but you are still like Lot's wife. He doesn't, you're looking over your shoulder, still looking back at the world that you're leaving. If you still haven't left, then he doesn't hook up with you. So on one side, on your side, we could be delaying the promise while waiting for the promise. And that is exactly what happened to Abraham. Now watch this. When you read Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 13, Abraham is 75 years old. Now see, he is like we are. He's not superficial. He's just like we are. His breakthrough doesn't come for 25 years. It took God 25 years for him to break this thing through. That is, when Isaac appeared, it took him 25 years between when he was told he was going to be do something and during the time that he actually began to do it. It took 25 years. It took 25 years because Abraham wasn't ready yet. Abraham was lying. Abraham was cheating, had an affair with the handmaiden, and had a baby out of wedlock. Whole lot of stuff. Abraham needed some development. And God wasn't about to give him a miracle without that development. Same thing he does with us. God has something for you. He promises that is yours, waiting for you to show up, but he will not give it to you until you're ready for it. He was not going to give him his destiny until he came to his senses and grew in his faith. But that's good news. Hope for you and hope for me, because that means that we have not learned to live by faith yet, but that means that God will hang out until we get the message. So God will keep us running around the promise until we are ready and have grown and have developed. We will land out. He will land us in the promise. One of the major reasons you want to leave Ur of the Chaldeans, I mean the world, worldliness, and want to live in God's presence and move quickly in obedience is so we can get what he has for us as soon as he give it. The quicker we fall in line with God, with his promise, the sooner we will get it. We won't be like the Israelites marching around for 40 years around the desert, not believing what God has promised them, not going into the land of promise. Some of the major reasons we want to leave Ur, that's so we can leave, so we can be in the presence, be in the presence of God's presence, and we can receive it, that inheritance more quickly, because we are ready for it. Question is, God, why is that such a big deal? Because God doesn't give you a destiny that will cause you to forget him. He says, as a foreigner and an alien, the Bible says that you and I are foreigners and aliens here on this earth. Because God does not want us to be too attached. God says, I am going to take you to your inheritance. I have I have to develop you for your inheritance. And when I develop you for your inheritance, keep your shoes on, because I'm going to send you through some stuff, some things, that there will be mountains, there'll be valleys, but they are only to develop you. I have my promise for you waiting. I just have to get you right. It says that Abraham was willing to live as an alien, to live as a foreigner, not to become too attached, looking for God to change his life. Now the third thing is, I said, a leaving, a living, and a looking. That's in verse 10, a looking. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. In other words, he left the world. He is no longer associated with that. He didn't leave God out. He lived in the arena of the promise, because he has to grow in that situation, because God gives you your destiny. He always deals with development, and after providing deliverance, it's always seems like he has deliverance first. He would deliver you out of a thing first. Then he would take you through these masses, I call it a dry land of development, and then there's your destiny. Then he says, the way he survived, the way you and I survived, is where he looked. While he was living on earth, while he was waiting for the promise that was going to come to on earth, waiting for a son in his old age, it says he kept his eyes on heaven. He looks for a city whose builder and architect was God. That's the heavenly city. That wasn't going to happen. He wasn't going to heaven yet. He still has a lot of years left on earth. But even though he wasn't going to heaven, he was looking at heaven. Because here it is. Here's the secret. If you learn to look at heaven, you will live better here on earth. How many times have it said before, and I've heard it said around here quite a few times, when things go wrong, when we had the trials and things go on in our life, as long as we keep our eyes toward heaven, looking at nothing else but heaven. Why? Because when you're looking at heaven, you're not looking at this mess on this world that's going on, that's coming up against you. If you stop looking at heaven and only look at earth, you will be looking through bad glasses. Because you will be living like this is all there is. That is why the Bible says in 1 John 2, this world is passing away. Don't hang on to this world too tight. That is why things get boring, because this world is passing away. Since this world is temporarily, look eternally, and it will change your temporary movement. When you lose sight of heaven, your perspective will be ruined on earth. So when you read Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 13, guess what you'll find? Over and over and over and over again, when it tells the story about Abraham, it says that everywhere he went, he built an altar. Everywhere he went, he built an altar. An altar is a place of worship. He didn't just go to church. He carried the church with him. He carried the altar with him. Every time he was in a new location, a new situation, he built an altar, a worship place, so that he can keep his eyes on heaven while on earth. While waiting for the promise, as he was trying to develop, he says, God, it's you and me now. He would pick up the altar and go to another place. He would worship. Pick up the altar, go to another place. He would worship. So if you only time that you worship is on Sunday, you are leaving your altar at church. The idea is to keep a spiritual perspective until God joins you in destiny, having left Ur of the Chaldeans. It's like, I said this one time before. It's like the story of the Wizard of Oz, Dorothy. She wanted to go home. She left home. Don't know how she got there. She wanted to go home. And while her wanted to get home, this good witch told her to follow the yellow brick road. So she followed the yellow brick road. And then she met three friends. They were just as messed up as she was. But she was obedient and believed and said, I follow the yellow brick road. When I get to the yellow brick road, somebody there at the end of this road gonna tell me how to get home. So her friends were messed up. One needed a carriage, one needed a heart, one needed a brain. I don't know what the things was, but they were messed up. So all of them got together and followed the yellow brick road. So as they were walking down this yellow brick road, the poppers came. They're trying to stop them from following this yellow brick road. And they all fell asleep, and then they woke up. It rained and woke them up, and they followed the yellow brick road. And then at one point, a bunch of monkeys came in and tried to disrupt things. But they still followed the yellow brick road. And when they came to the end of the yellow brick road, and that was Oz, and we know the end of the story, he already had his heart, and he already had his brain, he already had courage, and she clapped three times and went home. Small group with some messed up people. God says to us, if you will leave from where you are, if you will move toward me, keeping your eyes on Jesus, and we know we do that because he's the author and finisher of our faith, he will know how to get you home and take you to where you ought to be. If you leave the world and live under me, you live under God, and look toward me, he says, I will deliver you home. That is to your own destiny, everything that he has planned for you, he will deliver you home. Heavenly Father, once again, we just give in your name all the glory and honor and praise, Father. I just want to thank you, Father, for